Welcome for those who are visiting with us for the first time. I have entitled my message this morning, The Word of God Works, taken from 1 Thessalonians 2:13 and Hebrews 4:12 and 13. I would like you to turn to 1 Thessalonians 2:13 again. First Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Please bookmark this portion, and now turn to Hebrews 4:12-13. Hebrews 4:12-13. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Please bookmark this page, this portion again. Now, whenever my wife Frances and I are overseas or interstate over Sunday, and we are not recommended any good church to worship in, and I will Google from the internet to find out what is the most appropriate church to worship over the Lord's Day. I will search for them. I will look into the statements they publish on their website, and I also try to find out how they worship and the musical instruments they use. Some churches have two types of worship during the day. One they call the traditional, and the other the contemporary. The contemporary worship will consist very likely a drum set plus some electronics musical instrument and maybe some special effect lightings to enhance the so-called worship service. We will definitely avoid these churches. The next important criteria for us is the Bible they adopt. King James Version or King James Bible will be our choice. Here are some statements of faith and beliefs on the Word of God from different churches. Let me read some of them to you. And all of the three begins with "we believe." The first one: we believe God has spoken to us through the Bible, the collection of 66 books received by the historic Christian church. The Holy Spirit inspired human authors to write these books, and consequently we hold the entire Bible to be true, not just parts of it. We hold the words to be true, not just the idea they convey. We submit to the authority of the Bible. The next one: we believe that all the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are verbally inspired of God, and they are without error in the original writings, and they are the supreme and final authority for faith and life. Now, for the last one, this is from our website, Sydney BPC. First statement under Doctrine of the Church, and I read this to you, listen carefully. We believe in the divine, verbal, plenary inspiration of the scriptures in the original languages. They are consequent in inerrancy and infallibility, and as the word of God, the supreme and final authority in faith and life. And what do we understand by the word verbal and plenary inspiration of the scripture in the original languages? Verbal means that every word of scripture is God-given. Every word in the Bible is there because God wanted it to be there. Word for word, the Bible was translated into the King James Bible, which we are using today. Plenary means full authoritative. All parts of the Bible are equally authoritative, both New and Old Testaments. They are of divine origin. Jesus said in Luke 16:17, "And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail." Paul wrote in Romans 15:4, For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scripture, might have hope." Inspiration means God guide the process. The idea behind the word inspiration is that God supernaturally moved men, biblical authors, to write the exact things that he wanted to express. When God's words say, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God," what it means is that all Scripture is God-breathed. The result is the Holy Word of God, the 66 books of the Bible. Not only did God inspire his word, but he has also preserved it through the ages. The autographs, or the original copies in the original text, are no longer in existence due to wear and tear. But the opographs are preserved and uncorrupted. They are copied word for word from the original. I believe God has inspired his word. He definitely will preserve his word. All the three statements of faith which I have read earlier sounds very similar in nature. Hundreds of churches and ministries have similar statements about the divine inspiration and the inerrancy of the Bible on their website. It is the last phrase I want to stress. Now, the statement begins with "we believe" and ending something like this: submitting to the authority of the Bible, the supreme and final authority in faith and life. If you are a Christian, that's the kind of statement that you will read, and maybe you can recite 100 times and not think about it because you take it for granted. You will say without blinking an eye, "Oh yes, the Bible comes from God. God is the ultimate authority. Therefore, the Bible is our final authority." But do we mean what we say and say what we mean? For God's word to work in us, we must accept it. Have you accepted the word of God? Now refer to 1 Thessalonians 2:13, the second part, B. "Ye received the word of God which ye heard of us. Ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God." Paul not once, but twice emphasized the word of God, but that it is not merely the word of man. Notice the word "received" written twice in verse 13. The original text, there are two separate words. The first "received" is when the people heard. They got it from Paul, as when Paul spoke God's word. Now the second "received" carries the meaning to accept, to welcome with open arms, and to embrace wholeheartedly. Accept here also has a sense of agreeing to something. For example, if you want to do some renovation or some repair in your house, you will get builders to give you quotations, and you have a 4 or 5 quotations, and you will pick one of them, not because it is the cheapest or it's the most expensive, but somewhere because to link up on their reviews, on their work, and of course on their price as well. Then if the price is right and the reviews are good, you say you accept their quotation. The Thessalonians received the word from Paul and accepted the word which is from God. They welcomed the word into their lives, and the word changed their lives. Now take note, receiving and accepting the word is never the work of man, but the work of our God. How do I know? Look at the beginning of verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians. For this cause also we thank God without ceasing. For what cause is Paul thanking? For what cause was Paul and his fellow laborer thanking God? For God that he enabled the Thessalonians to embrace, welcome, and accept the word of God into their lives. That is the main reason that Paul was referring to. That is the main reason for God and for Paul thanking God for. It is the work of the living word, not by any of our strength. There was one point in our lives when the word of God worked in our hearts, revealing the state of our sinfulness. God then changed our heart of stone into a heart of flesh. He has enabled us to embrace and accept his word. It is the work of God. We submit unto him in repentance. We accept the Lord Jesus as our Savior. Thank God, it is the work of God and not by ourselves. Now listen carefully. We who have heard the word have a responsibility to accept it. God had revealed to us in the Bible that he not only created all things, but he has also pre-planned everything that would happen in his creation. He knows everything that has happened and everything that is going to happen in the future. He is sovereign over everything. And here is where the mystery comes in. Even though God is sovereign, man still has the responsibility and the freedom to choose. The choice is his. Man cannot blame God for sending him to hell if he chooses not to accept his word, not to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. You might ask me to explain this truth, God's sovereignty and man's responsibility. My answer, it is impossible for me to do so. But by faith, I accept that I have this responsibility to make a choice. And my choice, that I have accepted the Lord Jesus as my Lord and Savior. You heard God's word from man this morning. You're hearing it from me. God chose us people as the instrument to deliver his word. Not angels, not just pastors, elders, or even deacons, or Sunday school teachers, but us. The word us in the middle of verse 13 refer to everyone who have received his word and accepted it as the very truth of God. If we have welcomed and embraced God's word, we are to fulfill the great commission that is to deliver the gospel to those who have not yet received. Dear believers, we are here for a reason. We are saved for a cause. That is to speak on behalf of our Heavenly Father. This year, team, here am I, sent me. Have we been speaking out for our Lord Jesus? Wherever he has placed us, be it in our home, our workplace, or our school or uni. I'm not saying going to a remote area to do mission work, just daily doing something good for our Lord, telling others that my Redeemer lived, that he died for me, that he has risen and is now on the right hand of our Almighty God. Having received God's word, has it transformed your life? Are there any changes in your lifestyles that others have noticed? This person is a loudmouth gossiper. He always screams at his wife and children, and he comes to church every Sunday looking like a good father and a loving husband. And yet for the rest of the week, he is still a loudmouth gossiper, screaming at his wife and children. There is no change. Likely this person have only received his word and has not accepted it and still remain his old self. If you have accepted the living word that comes from God, then you must bow in submission to it. If people do not submit to God's word, then it explains why some people come to church 5, 10, 20, and many more years, and they behave just the same week after week. They know well that the Word of God is the supreme and final authority in faith and life, but they never accept it. They only have received it only. The focus here is crucial. You heard the message from men, but you must recognize it came from God. You heard from me today, the human side. God's message, that is the divine side. You must respond not as if it were the opinion of man, but as the word of God. Today, God uses us to speak because he wants his word to work effectively in all that believe. God's word is alive, powerful, penetrating, and discerning. Look at the last part of verse 13 in 1 Thessalonians. Which effectually worketh also in you that believe. God's word effectually is at work, continually working in you that believe. It's what it's exactly trying to say. Paul is trying to say, this is not just a once-off work, but a continuing process. Here the word worketh in 1 Thessalonians 2:13 has a meaning of being very active, showing forth our actions, our conversations, our conduct, our fruits of righteousness as a believer. The word worketh comes from the word powerful in Hebrews 4:12. Now turn to Hebrews 4:12 now. Please refer to your Bible. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Powerful here means the word is active, effectual, energizing. The word in our text worketh in 1 Thessalonians 2:13 is the result of the powerful work of God's word, effectually changing lives and converting sinners. There is power in the word of God when its divine authority is accepted in a believer's heart. In Hebrews 4:12, not only is the word quick and powerful, but also piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. What do we mean by saying the word of God pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow? I don't intend to attempt to explain soul and spirit, maybe joints and marrow, but I'm not going to do so either. I think I may do harm to understanding of God's word. I believe what we have here is a poetic statement of the power of God's word to pierce the human character to its very depths, opening us up to be revealed, not only to ourselves, but for others to see. Are we spiritual or are we carnal? Are we born again and spiritually alive, or are we spiritually dead and deceiving ourselves? For the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. A two-edged sword could cut no matter which way you swing at it. The implication is that the word of God can easily prick the heart when it is applied. God's word can cut through anything and bring conviction. Are the thoughts and intents of your heart spiritual thoughts and intentions which are God-honoring? Or just worldly thoughts and intentions of a natural man? Only the word of God can judge the thoughts and judge the thoughts and the intention of our hearts. The word of God is a discerner as well. I will come to that soon. I'm speaking this morning It is never my intention to target anybody. But if the word of God has pierced you, is piercing you right at your joints and marrow, I can say it is not my word. I am only speaking His word. I pray that the word of God works mightily in you. I cannot help if I have offended by. I cannot help if you are offended by me. I'm sure the word of God will be able to change your attitude and heal your wounds. I make no apology because it is the word of God I'm speaking. It is the word that judges us, not me. The word is a discerner in Hebrews 4:12, the last part, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. So the emphasis here is on the discerning judgment of the thoughts and attitudes of the heart that is able to critique our hearts. No one can see the condition of our heart, but only the word. The sword of the Spirit will tell us what the condition of our heart is. Fellow believers, if we really want to understand ourselves, we must fill our hearts with God's word. Read, study, and meditate upon it, and prayerfully apply His word into our lives. God will enable us to have a mind of rich discernment and deep understanding of self. James indicates that God's words function as a mirror revealing who and what we really are. In James 1:23, you don't have to turn it there. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or mirror. I thank God for His word. His word enables me to check my walk with Him. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. His word tells me what is right, what is wrong, what I should do, and what things to avoid and things that I shouldn't be doing. The word of God will enable me to cast myself back unto Jesus whenever I stray away from Him. For He is gracious and merciful. He will accept me back. And I'm sure anyone who has strayed away, if you come to Him in repentance, He will definitely accept you back again. Hebrews 4:13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. God sees everything. There is no escape. We want God to see us when we are hurting. We want God to notice that we are going through rough times. We want God to come to our aid to help us. We pray and we wait for God to answer our prayer. But when we come to sin and wrongdoing, we wish God would look the other side. Our God sees everything. You cannot hide anything from Him. God sees everything, and this can be uncomfortable if we have something up our sleeves, something to hide, some sin in us that you do not want to tell anybody, but God sees it. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. This is found in Proverbs 15:3. Now, Hebrews 4:13 also says that all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him. I stop here. Open unto the eyes of Him. The word open in verse 13 of Hebrews 4 is found only once in the Bible, in the original text, literally referring to bending someone's neck backward and his face looking upward. I quote from Strong Greek Dictionary, and I quote word for word. to seize by the throat or neck, that is, to expose the gullet of a victim for killing, generally to lay bare, opened, unquote. We are compared like an animal whose neck is bent backward and lay bare, ready for the slaughter. Nothing deters the word of God from striking. There is absolutely nothing that can stop the word from penetrating into our hearts. And if this be the true interpretation, then what a heart-rending sight of the awesome power of God's word and of the exposure of man's sinfulness for destruction. All is bare, naked, and open. There were a few occasions after work with Frances, my wife, in St. Leonard's. When we walk to Town Hall Station, and along the way, especially walking the Harbour Bridge, I noticed every couple of meters, there is CC cameras everywhere. Well, Big Brothers is keeping an eye on us, and they are everywhere. We would like to think that Australia have numerous CCTV cameras keeping the country safe. I have learned that China have many more. Not to mention the United States of America. They have them up in the skies. But compared to the eyes of our omnipotent God, the Almighty, omnipresent, His presence anywhere, omniscient, He knows the past, the present, and the future, all these countries are nothing compared to our great God. God knows instantly and effortlessly of all things. He knows our deepest secret. Yes, we men are sometimes great actors. Actors are like hypocrites. We are able to cover ourselves very well. Our motives, especially in front of other people. We may appear to be sincere to others, but deep down inside our heart, we have ulterior motives. But God sees through us. He knows us. We can't hide. God sees everything, and there is no excuse. Now, refer to the last part of Hebrews 4:13. All things are open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. What are we going to do? To Him we must also give an account. This verse basically tells us that there will be a day of reckoning on which we will each give an account for our lives. The day of excuses will be over. The book of Romans tells us that there is coming a time when every mouth will be stopped. No more second chance, no more excuses. We cannot therefore blame God for sending us to hell if we do not accept His word. The Apostle Paul warns us in 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Now God has spoken. If you have accepted and embraced His word in your heart, there will be fruits and you will be growing spiritually. When we receive the word outwardly and accept it inwardly, allowing God's word to rule over every area in our lives, it energizes us to be faithful, that we may be faithful for the work of the gospel. It is effectual because the word of God works. The word of God is quick, not dead, but meaning alive. As for the living word, it continues through all ages and with undisputed effect on human lives. Someone said to Gypsy Smith, and I quote, that he had gone through the Bible several times but received no inspiration. Gypsy Smith replied, "Let the word go through you once, and then you will tell a different story. Unquote. Now, reading his word is a very, very good thing. Reading is something that we can do in a very leisurely manner. We can just go to bed and pick up. The Bible might be too heavy, very likely your hand falls, and you can read God's word in a casual manner. Studying the word is something that takes effort. It requires work. It requires you sitting down in a proper posture, maybe looking at all the books in front of you, in front of the computer, and researching and meditating on it. It takes more effort to do it. There's a great difference between reading and studying. Well, study suggests labor, suggests diligent work, spending money on books, on softwares, to equip ourselves to go up to the next level. Our team for 2014 was Be Approved Unto God, taken from 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, to be approved unto God goes further than reading, studying, or memorizing God's word. They are all good, and we should be doing this thing daily. But to be approved, we also need to meditate on his word. For the reason his word works in our lives. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Whenever, wherever we have any spare time, whether day or night, we are to meditate on God's word. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. In my preparation for this morning message, I have read several times Hebrews 3, 4, and 5. But I spent more time on chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. Chapter 4, verses 1 to 13 is about entering into his rest. Now, go to Hebrews 4:1. Hebrews 4:1. I read this to you. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, or any of you should seem to come short of it. The author of Hebrews said that, let us therefore, reverend, watch out, just in case this promise of entering into his rest, over here is in heaven, that you have missed out. The Bible described Christian rest as something to be enjoyed today, and also something to anticipate, to look forward in the future in heaven. To experience his rest, or entering into his rest, we must have a very, very close relationship with our Lord Jesus. We need to grip hold what the Bible has for us, and yet, most of the times, even believers are too busy and they are distracted to experience the wonderfulness of this rest, even today on earth. They are too busy doing the things of the world. The prescription of entering into his physical rest, spiritual rest, or eternal rest is to accept and cling on to the word of God. Now, since you are on Hebrews 4, let me read Hebrews 11 to you. Just before our text, Hebrews 4:11. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. The author of Hebrews looks after his flock very well. He warned them that you must put an effort to study God's word, so that you may have this chance, so that you will have an opportunity to enter into his rest. For verses 1 to 11, there is more than a handful of times talking about into his rest. And how to enter into his rest? Because for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. To enter into his rest, one got to know the word, because the word works in our heart. Reading the Bible without meditating on it is just like eating without chewing. It can be quite tiring. Just imagine you open your mouth and put food in, and your stomach got to churn and churn and churn, and by the time it churns and digests everything, you'll be flat out. So my recipe, reading the Bible, put time studying on it, and then meditating on it. For those who have accepted his word is continually working within us, granting us this spiritual rest in the Lord. And we need to take time to study and meditate his word. Now, praying ceaselessly that we may be filled with the Holy Spirit daily to do his work. Let me conclude by sharing something written many years ago by Samuel Chadwick. And I'd like to quote this to you. I have guided my life by the Bible for more than 60 years. And I tell you, there is no book like it. It is a miracle of literature, a perennial spring of wisdom, a wonder of surprises, a revelation of mystery, an infallible guide of conduct, and an unspeakable source of comfort. Pay no attention to people who discredit it, for I tell you that they speak without knowledge. It is the word of God itself. Study it according to its own direction. Live by its principles. Believe its message. Follow its precepts. No man is uneducated who knows the Bible, and no one is wise who is ignorant of its teaching, unquote. Now God has spoken. Have you listened? I urge you, take time to listen. The wealth of the word of God is not knowing it, but also trusting and obeying it. The best thing to do with God's words is to hide it in our hearts, keep it in our minds, sow it unto the world, and let the word manifest everyone, including you. If you have received and accepted his word, take heed and obey, because one day you will appear before our Lord Jesus. And may he say unto us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. For those who have only listened and not accepted his word, our Lord will likely to say unto you, thou wicked and slothful servant. Today you have heard the word from God and not from man. If the word pricks you, come unto him in repentance. Let his word work in you. If you have not accepted his word, the living word of our Lord Jesus, as your personal Savior, I urge you to come today. Our Lord is the living Word. In John 1:1, I read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Today is the day of salvation. Don't wait. There might not be a time to give any excuse. There is no second chance. It's either you accept or you reject. I thank God for the Word, and I thank God for enabling me to speak to you all today. Let us pray. Most gracious God, our loving, merciful Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Son, the living Word, quickening us so that we are able to respond to Thy truth. Thank Thee that Thou hast preserved the Word through the ages, that we may know Thy truth. May Thy Word work a mighty work in every area of our lives, that others may see Christ in us. Lord, help us also by the working of the Holy Spirit, that we may reach out to those that have not accepted Thy Word. May Thy truth set them free. Father, may the Word speak to some among here this morning, that they may come to accept Thee as Lord and Savior. For we pray in Jesus' name, Amen. For our closing hymn,